Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. In atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter, the stimulation for atrial contraction is above the ventricles, but isn't the primary pacemaker of the heart, the SA node. We are reviewing two common atrial rhythms, atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter, as today's pass ACLS tip topic. In atrial fibrillation, there are multiple areas of the atria producing electrical stimulus, resulting in chaotic activity. On the ECG, we will see a rhythm that is irregularly irregular, has a chaotic isoelectric line with no distinct P waves, and generally a narrow QRS complex. In atrial flutter, the external electrical stimulus starts in the atria away from the SA node, but travels in an atrial circuit. Because these impulses follow a regular pathway, the P waves will have consistent morphology that is sometimes referred to as a sawtooth pattern. The rhythm is regular compared to atrial fibrillation. In both cases, the rapid atrial electrical impulses can make it to the AV node and result in rapid ventricular response, or RVR. A rate over 150 may require immediate intervention if the patient has a sudden decrease in consciousness, hypotension identified as a systolic blood pressure less than 90, signs of shock such as ashy skin or delayed capillary refill, acute CHF, or if accompanied by ischemic chest pain. Many of these patients will complain of palpitations and can suffer orthostatic hypotension from even minor or gradual positional changes. Patients with these signs or symptoms are unstable and should be converted with a synchronized shock. When using a biphasic defibrillator to deliver synchronized shock, we will use the manufacturer's suggested setting. Lower energy settings of 50 to 100 joules for monophasic defibrillators is generally sufficient to convert a narrow complex rhythm. Remember that when using the sync mode, it could take a few seconds for the defibrillator to discharge after pushing the button. So don't let anyone touch the patient until after you're 100% positive the shock was delivered. At rates over 150, it's often difficult to tell AFib and flutter with RVR. For a stable patient, we would consider administration of 6 mg adenosine rapid IV push after attempting vagal maneuvers. Remember that adenosine is not effective for the treatment of AFib or flutter, but it does temporarily slow the heart, allowing us to identify the underlying rhythm. If we see AFib or flutter after administering adenosine to a stable tachycardic patient, we may consider switching to a different therapy, such as a calcium channel blocker or beta blocker, skipping administration of the 12 mg adenosine dose. I hope that you found this review of atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter helpful. If so, be sure to push the plus, subscribe, or follow button now in your listening app so you don't miss upcoming episodes with more tips to help you pass your ACLS class. Upcoming episodes include hypothermia as a reversible HNT cause of cardiac arrest, as well as reviews of nitroglycerin and calcium channel blockers. If you're looking for something additional to listen to, visit the pod resource page at passacls.com to discover other medical podcasts that cover ACLS-related topics. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.